Ever caught yourself replaying a conversation in your head, dissecting every word, convinced you said something embarrassing? That familiar knot in your stomach before a meeting, the sudden urge to check your phone when someone approaches? These aren't character flaws. They're signs of social anxiety, affecting 13% of Americans and touching nearly everyone at some point. What's startling? Only 1% of people never experience social anxiety, and they're likely psychopaths. The rest of us navigate this terrain daily, some more intensely than others. Social anxiety doesn't appear from nowhere. Genetics loads the gun. Having a close relative with anxiety disorders increases your risk 4 to 6 times. But genes aren't destiny. They create vulnerability, while experience pulls the trigger. Consider Jim, raised in a tight-knit Boston neighborhood where his mother Maeve obsessively feared neighbors' judgment. She'd inspect her sons before they left home, terrified of criticism. Eventually, she stopped leaving entirely, sending her children to church as proxies. Jim absorbed a worldview where scrutiny lurked everywhere. At 14, when a friend mentioned that Dina, a girl he liked, returned his interest, Jim began hiding behind bushes and cars to avoid her. That moment crystallized everything: the genetic predisposition, the learned fear, the choice to retreat. Social anxiety isn't a flaw. It's an ancient survival mechanism, affecting 15% of humans. The socially anxious brain shows a critical timing gap. The prefrontal cortex, rational thought, reacts 3 seconds slower than in calm brains, while the amygdala, fear center, fires immediately, letting anxiety dominate before reason intervenes. Brain scans reveal heightened amygdala activity when viewing faces, especially negative expressions, creating hypervigilance to social cues. The encouraging news: Dr. Philippe Golden's research showed that after 4 months of cognitive behavioral therapy, brains changed measurably. The prefrontal cortex activated faster and stronger when confronting anxiety-provoking situations. The neural architecture for confidence already exists. Researcher Cynthia Kagan identified behavioral inhibition in cautious toddlers who approached unfamiliar situations only after careful observation. About 1/3 of children displayed this tendency. This trait persists because moderate social caution once promoted group harmony and prevented ostracization, historically a death sentence when survival depended on the group. Introversion differs fundamentally from anxiety. Introversion is innate, while anxiety develops through experience. Solitude energizes introverts, but only temporarily relieves anxiety. Introversion reflects environmental preference, while anxiety involves perfectionism and judgment fear. This distinction explains why moderate social caution persisted evolutionarily, while extreme anxiety represents an overflow of an otherwise beneficial trait. Social anxiety centers on the reveal, that moment when something embarrassing becomes visible to others. We fear exposing our anxiety, appearance, character flaws, or awkwardness. To prevent exposure, we hide, sometimes obviously, sometimes by becoming invisible in groups. Avoidance provides instant relief, but becomes a trap, teaching our brains the situation was genuinely dangerous. The goal isn't fearlessness, but expanding our comfort zone through practice. Like building fitness, we strengthen social muscles without losing empathy or listening skills. Mindfulness practices regulate the amygdala's response, decreasing its volume over time while increasing gray matter in emotional regulation areas. Social fear persists because of the inner critic, that voice predicting embarrassment and attacking with harsh labels. Ironically, it believes it's protecting us. The first tool is getting specific. Anxiety thrives on vagueness. Everybody, always, never. When you think, everyone will laugh at me, ask who specifically and what exactly is the worst outcome. This precision reveals how unrealistic fears are. Instead of, I'll completely mess up, specify, I might stumble over one slide, far more manageable. Then apply 3 questions. How bad would that really be? Puts consequences in perspective. What are the odds? Challenges catastrophic forecasting. And how could you cope? Reminds you of your resources. Complement this with self-compassion, offering yourself the support you'd give a friend. Dr. Kristen Neff identifies three components: mindfulness, noticing thoughts without judgment, self-kindness, speaking with understanding, and recognizing common humanity. Everyone struggles. The goal isn't silencing the critic, but engaging it constructively, transforming a harsh judge into a reasonable advisor. Brandon Stanton, creator of Humans of New York, advises, if you want to be comfortable talking to strangers, approach strangers while you're uncomfortable. This captures the fake it till you make it principle. Action precedes motivation. We mistakenly wait for confidence before acting, but it's backward. Starting the activity generates confidence through biochemical changes that reduce anxiety, creating a positive feedback loop. There's a crucial distinction between false fronts that deceive and constructive role-playing that builds the authentic self. Playing a chosen role acts as scaffolding, temporary structure supporting growth until it's no longer needed. Aisha, a physician with social anxiety, felt anxious as she rose through hospital ranks. Observing the CFO's storytelling style, she assigned herself the advocate role for her autism patients. This gave her purpose in intimidating meetings. She prepared detailed case studies and practiced delivery, gradually becoming comfortable speaking up. The advocate role eventually integrated into her authentic self. Focus on specific behaviors rather than abstract concepts. Instead of be more confident, practice making eye contact, speaking at a measured pace, or asking follow-up questions. Choose roles aligning with your values rather than trying to become someone else entirely. In 1942, 19-year-old Albert Ellis conquered his shyness by approaching 130 women in the New York Botanical Garden over a month. His discovery? Nothing happened. No catastrophes, just conversations. This insight became foundational to cognitive behavioral therapy. Anticipatory anxiety far exceeds actual discomfort. Avoidance provides temporary relief but reinforces the belief that situations are dangerous. Research shows most people experience significant anxiety reduction within 8 to 10 exposures. Jia Zhang's 100 Days of Rejection project exemplifies this, making unusual requests like borrowing money from strangers or requesting burger refills. He became desensitized and discovered people were often more willing to help than expected. Success isn't determined by outcomes, but by taking action despite fears. As you progress, eliminate safety behaviors, protective actions that maintain anxiety. Worries about shaking hands? Stop drinking from bottles. Concerned about blushing? Ditch turtlenecks. Afraid of running out of conversation? Attend parties alone. Several myths perpetuate social anxiety. I must monitor myself constantly creates a cycle where self-monitoring drains resources needed for genuine interaction. Redirect attention outward instead. How I feel is how I look assumes internal turmoil is visible, yet video recordings reveal anxiety appears far less obvious than believed. People will judge me, overestimates others' attention. The spotlight effect makes us feel conspicuous while others focus on themselves. I need to be perfect creates impossible standards, though research shows socially anxious individuals' friends rate them as positively as non-anxious people's friends do. Making friends as adults requires repetition, disclosure, and demonstrating genuine liking. Warmth and authenticity matter more than status. The Harvard Grant study, tracking 724 men for 75 plus years, revealed good relationships keep us happier and healthier, period. Jim's story concludes at a regional showcase. Despite backstage panic, anxiety transforms into excitement once music begins. The judge's feedback, very relaxed, proves how differently others perceived him. At 52, Jim had begun a new life. You don't need to be outgoing, just kind. Combined with traits accompanying social anxiety, empathy, listening skills, and conscientiousness, you can build meaningful connections. The journey isn't becoming someone new, but revealing the authentic person waiting to step into the light.